Okay, pre amrata. I've been talking in this in my Swedish podcast, you can call it, on Radio Krishna, about you know how this Bhakti Yoga, this Krishna consciousness, this path to self-realization, what we call it, can actually really help us. And then on a larger scale collectively help the world today, which really, really needs help. And many of us, humans and animals, you know, those who live here need help. I mean, our suffering is a mess, lots of it. So, but we need to start with ourselves. So, when I'm sitting here in 2024 thinking back at my life and what this, you know, since I stepped into the Gaudiya Vaishnava temple and ashram south here of Stockholm 78, then what has happened and where I stand now and how this has helped me. I think that's important to share, because, and I would like to hear from all of you others in a similar situation. I mean, for real, we used to kind of do, you know, preaching, meaning that I'm going to say the right thing now. I'm supposed here to present the philosophy and teachings of Krishna consciousness and how good it is and how good this movement is and why people should join it. You know, that kind of more, how to say, religious group. Recruitment style, and I was going like that also, but I feel more comfortable now when I can just talk as myself, with the only purpose to share my own experiences, and that those who listen out there, maybe some can be inspired by the words here, and which are, you know, not coming from me, just rephrased by me, so to speak. But you know, and find inspiration to live a very happy and enlightened and beautiful life. Well, at least I can say, I'm very satisfied with my life. Although it has offered some pretty heavy challenges for me, not, you know, by physical suffering and this and that, that some people have to go through, but on other levels. And I thought, you know, here I want to share my experiences just personally. This is just me. I'm not representing some organization or like that. I'm representing myself. And if someone is interested in that, well, my name is Priyavrata. That's one of my names. I'm also called Pyre, some call me that. But this is the Priyavrata side who's talking, Gaudiya Vaishnava, follower of, you know, Shiksha Guru, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Bhaktivedanta Bhaktivinoda, you know, these I kind of feel at home there. That's kind of my family, so to speak. And so I will talk not from that perspective, but as, you know, the reason I joined that family, so to speak, is that I found that knowledge given there, non-sectarian, because I don't like religious groups and all of that. I never did. But I want the truth. I want the real thing. I was always driven by that need, you know. I want to get real. And that's what has been driving me all through my life. And when, you know, all I can, you know, what I can say is when I look back like this to your youngsters, you know, just be true to yourself. Just really, as I spoke the other day, or yesterday, on that Swedish channel, you know, we may have gurus and we may have teachers, we may have books and wise people around us. But ultimately, the reason they are wise and all of that and learned and can guide us is that what they do, because, you know, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one teaches best by one's own example. So, but and those teachings, when you see them or like that, then you of course accept them because you find them acceptable, right? That's why, that's, you know, when I was 20, 22 there, I was walking around searching, and of course you search and you look here and you look there, but then you find something that, oh, this is good, this I can accept, and you accept it. And if that changes and that one day you don't find it acceptable anymore, then you don't accept it. I mean, it's always up to us deep in there to make that choice, because we are responsible for our own lives and free to live our own lives. That's kind of the idea with being a free spirit soul. And why we are here, sometimes messing up also, because we, you know, being free is, well, some, they prefer not to be that, so they just give up their free will, so to speak, to someone else, where there is some political leader or guru or whoever, as the kids do to their parents, because, yeah. But I think especially today, and when you are an adult, we need to have that strength and that individuality, that integrity, and that, how to say, discriminatory ability, but also that self-confidence. That's part of strength. That, yes, this I can accept, this as true, this is really, yeah, it makes sense. And then have the strength to, if we live with another paradigm, so to speak, that we have been given from childhood or whatever, to have the strength to change that, to always have that, I would say, awakenness. That we kind of look at what's going on around us, and we not question it in a negative suspicious sense, but in a kind of reality check sense. And if we find that, oops, this guru that I was told was a perfect person who just knows everything and is always right and knows me more than I do. Oops, he wasn't like that. That's just something someone told me, and maybe I misunderstood, or maybe that person was pretending. I mean, there are plenty of cases of that. In India, when Prabhupada came, he was talking about, you know, how many pretender gurus there are walking around there, collecting disciples. And now they're all over the world. It's just human nature. So, anyway, here I am, and I could just say honestly that what I found then back in age 22 still stands. And that is this knowledge from the Gita and the Bhagavatam, and, you know, about us as eternal persons who have an eternal, wonderful relationship to the Supreme Persons. So, and so on. The Vaishnava Siddhanta. And how I can live this. In my own personal, private life, and which has turned out very good because of that. Not because I made a lot of money or this or that, or became an important, powerful, or famous, or influential person, but or whatever. But because I would say, I guess, I became more who I am, actually. You know, self-realization, we call it, is supposed to happen something during a lifetime, at least, and for me it has. And yes, I fell into pits and traps and bashed my head against the wall in some alley somewhere down there few times through my life, and I can share that those experiences too, because I guess most of us, we learn that way, don't we? Sometimes by the school of hard knocks, as we call it. So, but here we are, and what is a day in my life? What is a day in your life? I mean, the days of life, a day in the life, is what life is made of, right? And so, yeah, we were taught then, you know, get up early in the morning, 3:30 or something, and go through all that morning program and do these 2 hours of japa there and everything, and sleep only 6 hours, and you know, and then breakfast, and then serve, lunch, serve, and then evening program, milk and puris, and good night. Oh, yeah, and shower and all of this, like, so, and the guy treats him, you know, easy life in a way, because it's just repeated the same every day. So I lived like that for 20 more years, 21 or something, and then, you know, got a family and got through all of that, starting company and then getting children and this ordinary thing, where you're out there in a society in a completely different situation, working at some office place somewhere together with people who you can't even mention Krishna to, or God even. So, you know, you have to learn how to, and you know, when you have twin kids and a full-time job, and you're 50 plus, and you know how it is to have especially small kids. I mean, it takes all your energy and all your time. So you can, getting up 3:30 in the morning and this and that, can be really tough to maintain all that. I mean, I have friends who did it, but some of them are worn out now, chronically sick, weak, some strange disease that just comes and seems to happen to actually many such Vaishnava devotees who just wanted to be really strict and good and fixed up and following properly every little thing that Prabhupada said and taught. But you know, I many with me, I think most of us, then learned that, first of all, Prabhupada said you should take care of your health, and then you should chant Hare Krishna. That there's a balance, and if we stay within what we actually naturally can do in the long run, maintain, you know, that's the mode of goodness, not that you do millions of things, mode of goodness things every day, because then it's really a lot of mode of goodness, right? The thing is, that kind of attitude of doing a lot of this and that, that's the mode of passion. So, there's one Ayurvedic doctor who gave a lecture here on Bixenhof Farm, and he said that you Westerners, even when you're going to do the mode of goodness, you do it in the mode of passion. And I understand him. So, do what you can. I mean, I'm talking to, because in that period, most of us will go through that, the family life and the professional life and this and that. Just do what you can do, what you feel that this I can maintain. This is, here I feel it works, and I'm good. I feel good. I feel, you know, my life is okay. And, you know, when you are, her little babies there at home, especially two at the same time as we had, then, you know, you sometimes can't do more than and just do it, what has to be done all the time. And it's whether you feel good or not, I mean, it's tough sometimes. So, yeah. First, we take care of ourselves, that we are as strong as possible and as inspired as possible and happy with our lives, so we can, you know, we have the good spirit up, so we, and then we can do wonderful, nice service to Krishna, and also to Krishna's family, you know, which our friends and family is. We should see it that way. And then I will be Krishna conscious easier than if I'm completely wiped out and suffering and messed up and depressed and whatever I am, or wild conflicts within, neurotic, psychotic, whatever. I mean, this is kind of when you really push yourself to the limit, that's what starts to happen. I mean, you can't really, I mean, maybe some can, but it's better to just live a nice, balanced, sattvic, good life. That also has to be designed according to each and every one's situation. And we shouldn't be judgmental, you know, on each other that, oh, look at me, I'm doing all these things and you're only doing those things. So you are a lower quality devotee than I am. Because first of all, that is arrogance. And second of all, we just can't judge each other like that, because we, the only one who knows what my relationship to Krishna is, to God, is us, me and God. I mean, it's between us, and the same with you. And when someone has taken that step, which is and was a big step for many of us, for me, what really was, to become a servant of God. And, you know, initiation means really that you kind of decide, you know, from here I am the servant of God, I'm a Vaishnava, a devotee, a bhakta. That's a step, it's a significant step. And if you, first of all, if you're not ready to take that step, don't bother about this initiation and all of that. I don't buy it, as some say, that you had to do initiation as soon as you can, because it's your way of plugging into the electric outlet and be connected with Krishna. Otherwise, you're not connected with Krishna and the disciplic success. Prabhupada took 11 years before he got initiation. It's not about that. It's about coming to that point, to those real points in one's life that, yes, I'm going to be a devotee. And then, you know, the initiation is more the choice of your teacher and all of that, but it's also very much, I would say, you know, we call it Harinam. I'm going to do this Harinam. A personal vow, you could say. I don't know if we take it as, if you have to take it as a vow, that if you break it, you're going to hell or something. I think it's a nice dedication that we do, that yes, and it helps us. It's some samskara. So, then we do our best. For me here now, this is what I wanted to say while I started talking today. It's very simple, actually. I thought about just this morning that I wake up in the morning and I have a lot of things I want to do, and now I can do those things. It's actually part of my mission, which I've dedicated my life to, the Sankirtan mission. So I'm writing and I'm publishing, and, you know, I'm working on these kind of YouTube channels and this and that, really trying to learn and help others if they want to. I mean, to really work in this media, and that's my understanding of the best thing to spread, way to spread Sankirtan. So yeah, got a few years left, hopefully, to live. Maybe more, even better, but some years. I hope, and I want to get certain things accomplished, my life mission, basically. So, yep, getting up there, got my bead bag, got my altar here in my home, and I stay mostly at home. And then, you know, sometimes I actually, every time, every morning, I just feel at one point when I, nowadays, you know, you can get into your daily activity, I've got to do this, got to do that, want to do this, want to do that, and then pushing on. But then more often lately, past few years, I just stop and think, but hey, is this the right thing to do right now? What is the best thing? What does Krishna want me to do right now at this moment? And it's a very good thing to do, I think. That's my experience. And, you know, and then that's, I realized that that's why we have all of that with morning programs and bhajans going past by the temple in the morning and doing the bhajans there with others. That meditation time, because it is a good start of the day. It helps. As to, you know, yeah, Krishna is here, and you start and like you stand there in the front of the altar, and you just, you know, please accept me, my service, and guide me today, what you want me to do. And then you tend, of course, to listen within. You're there within, right? And you start your day from inside out. This is why I have this YouTube channel, Inside Looking Out, where we look out even more than we do here. Here we're basically inside. It's nice to be sometimes too. But you know, and that is what it's about. It's not about going through a certain amount of hours of a certain amount of programs and performances and rituals and ceremonies and this and that. I mean, that's sadhana, that's very good. But all that has another purpose, and that is this Krishna consciousness, that we, yes, here I am, Krishna. And it's funny because I just started my work today, and then I stopped and I did this, and I sat here in front of my altar. What do you actually want me to do now? And I started talking this. So sometimes when you do this, you kind of just come up with another idea than you had before. And we used to talk about this. You get inspiration from Krishna. Oh, I felt now this. Maybe it was Krishna inspiring me to do this or to do that. And I think that's what is going on in the lives of devotees, not just those big shots with their fancy clothing and titles and all that. But I've seen that in the lives of all devotees, from down on the floor of the kitchen washing pots up to the top level of the Vyasasans, saying the same thing. Having the same experiences. And so I would say that this is what it's about. And what it's really about then is that then you will feel that your life works out for you. It makes sense. It's happy because here I am. And look, Krishna is inspiring me to do this and that. Krishna wants me to do that. And I'm not saying we should not ask our guru or the wise ones, because we have this guru, sadhu, and shastra. The guru is in the heart there. Paramatma, Gurudev in the heart, Chaitya Guru. And the guru out there, whoever that is, whoever is acting in that role, is there because that person is, how to say, on the level of and having taken that responsibility of being able to, or trying to, act as a transparent medium to the Super Soul, to Paramatma, Baladev, Gurudev, Chaitya Guru. So, but, and then also teaches us, because that's what the teaching is about, Om Agyanati Miramati, to see, to get in contact, to have connection there with Krishna in the heart ourselves, opening our eyes, not just, oh, you stay blind and I'll lead you. Because if it was like that, that the disciple is always blindly being led by the guru, then would that disciple takes up the responsibility as guru, is he or she then still a blind one leading another blind? I mean, there we go. But blind leading the blind. I mean, but you know, so we are supposed to learn how to see, and that's what the teachings are mainly about. So yeah, but we are supposed to, and I have to get back to that, it's about, we're supposed to be happy. That's what it's about, this Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada said, I came over here not to give you another religion, but to make you happy. And then someone may find, oh gosh, I'm not happy, I'm suffering every day, but I'm suffering for Krishna, and that is the most advanced level. So look at me. I'm teaching you now by my own example. How to be happy in Krishna consciousness by suffering like I do. Isn't this beautiful? Yes, Sadhuji, I want to become like you. The Prabhupada looked pretty happy. I mean, I thought he looked very serious and in his photos. He looks a bit like that, but he's often seen smiling and dancing and laughing. He, of course, he took on quite a burden, my goodness. But he said, especially when he got his first place there in New York City, 26 Second Avenue, that these were happy days. Someone wrote that, he said that years later. I remember back on those years as happy days. And I can understand. These must have been very happy days for him. Seeing all these Western hippie kids changing from their animalistic life to nice Vaishnavas. Of course, he also, of course, could see and realize that just dressing up that way and behaving that way doesn't change you all the way through immediately. But I also read and understood that that was one of his strategies, by kind of making them behave like Vaishnavas. They will gradually become Vaishnavas. And I think he also tried other strategies. And I think, if I dare say so, that was he here today, I think he would choose another strategy. And knowing and seeing what this cultish, you know, the cults and these religious fanatic groups and so on, how they can develop, this group psychology behind that, and how it also affected ISKCON, and still does, I would say. Because by simply, you know, implanting, if that's the word, transplanting a Vaishnava culture with all the, you know, dress code and this and that, into completely different cultures in different parts of the world, especially given the fact that it's kind of sensitive with these religious differences, and, you know, the Christians, they're really freaked out about us, and so on. But also the general attitude towards those who are very different, and Indians, and there's this whole racism thing coming up, and there's so then that's what made, if I should analyze that just very shortly, that's what made ISKCON devotees feel a bit isolated and pushed inside, you know, having to build walls around themselves to stay protected within. This kind of unnecessary conflict that appeared because of that, and which really takes away the focus on what it's all about. And what Prabhupada said, you know, you may be Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, whatever, but, and I have not come here to convert you to Hinduism or whatever, but just to help you in your relationship with God and reawaken it if you forgot it, and make it sweeter if it's already going on. Just sharing the good news, the fruits of Lord Chaitanya's nice sankirtan. But, you know, if you don't accept Chaitanya, you don't accept the Indians, whatever, then you worship God your way, but don't be hypocritical. Stop killing animals if you understand that killing is not good, and so on and so forth. Don't exploit people in other countries because you happen to be smarter than them or whatever, or maybe happen to be more cruel than they are. Don't use your religion to take power over others, take what they own. I mean, those kind of things. So Prabhupada spoke out against that behavior, and as Ajit Prabhu is doing some in the university now, some work on, it's not that there are different religions in conflict with each other, but within each religion there are different ways of being religious, from the fundamentalist to the most esoteric mysticists. So yeah, and that kind of work to open up in that way. Yes, you may have this religion, that religion, this nationality, that nationality, race, if there is a race or no race, but life is not all about running that human race. It's about a self-realization. You know, not that religious race either. And then help those people, first of all the students, to come up to that more, you could say, how to express a nishta platform, whatever, from the Sanskrit vocabulary, of seeing the universal features here in these different religions, what they're actually talking about, that it's above those sectarian differences. It's about, you know, understanding the souls, ourselves as souls, not as matter, and our relationship to God. And there you find within each religion, so a little bit there in the outskirts generally nowadays, it should have been in the actual center. And maybe that's what's happening, move that back in from the fringe into the center, that we call bhakti. And when we have that relationship to God, this loving relationship to God, also understanding that all of us are children of God, then we will also start treating each other nicely. So that's really the way I see the mission today. And into this, the Bhagavad Gita and the books of Prabhupada, the books of the, you know, all kinds of wonderful teachings like that, they fit perfectly well. And Prabhupada also said, wanted his followers to write their own books, explain in their own words. So there is a wonderful big work for us to do, and I'm just sitting here doing my part, and it's really nice. And I just see every day, click, 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 oh, you can do this, you could do that, and wow, wow, wow. And I could write that book, I can make a movie about this. I have a whole box of ideas for scripts and books and films and games even. And just thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be able to produce any of that, or what to speak of all of it, during the time I've left here. So yeah, for you who live around where I live, if you don't see me much, that's pretty much why. Got to prioritize, but I'll come around. Right now I'm just really busy. So this is the way I communicate with the world out there. Hare Krishna.